I'm Leah Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, you're going to get to enjoy a conversation with Jenna Guerrero. She is from Louisiana, and our conversation is, frankly, she's just a happy, positive, light-filled person. I think you're going to enjoy her journey and her story. So enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
All right, so Jenna, tell my audience, where are you located? They now know your last name as well as I do. Give them a little bit of background on your awesomeness so they can know who we're talking to today.
I am located in Houma, Louisiana, which is 45 minutes southwest of New Orleans. So basically, we call ourselves the bottom of the boot. If you go any further, you will hit the Gulf of Mexico.
Nice. Do you have oil rigs there? Is it that part of the boot?
They do drill like out of Fouchon. So Fouchon's a little bit further south than we are. Yes.
So hang on. Is Humboldt where they were building that jazz land? Is that the direction of New Orleans where jazz land was built?
Yes.
I knew it sounded familiar. Have you ever seen the documentary about jazz land?
No, I haven't.
It's creepy and fascinating. It might be my favorite commercial real estate documentary ever and probably the only one I've ever watched. And it's all about the politics in and around the area, what happened with the park and what happened with Katrina and the highest and best use of it. It's from 2016 or 2017. It was either on Netflix or Amazon Prime. You should go look it up.
I will check that out.
And that was just kind of an interesting thing that I was thinking about. Okay, so how long have you been in real estate?
I actually went to Jazzland and when it was vacant, empty.
Okay, because that was the creepiest part of that documentary. It was like it was frozen in time.
Yeah, it was really cool. I have pictures. We kind of just like on a random weekend to
were you a teenager check. Maybe was going through an opening in the fence?
Maybe.
No judgment.
Or maybe like over the fence.
A CrossFit thing.
Yeah, it was a workout.
So the Spartan course with an obstacle, right?
Yeah, that was really cool.
You didn't hurt anything. Didn't touch anything.
We just looked around.
You're probably lucky you didn't get tetanus in there.
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
It's so weird. You can see the documentary, but okay, viewers, I'll find the name of it and we'll add it to the show notes because I should know the name of it. But in the administrative offices, like the clocks were frozen because it had stopped all the power. And then the calendars were on the wall for the opening days and all the staff uniforms were still in their little plastic bags as they come from the Lemons Company. And it was almost like watching Titanic when you see the videos from underwater and you
see
the dining room froze. It's wild.
Yeah.
I love those frozen moments in time kind of things. But then I was towards the end of the documentary really aggravated by how the political know-it-alls were treating the developers and the ideas that could have created something really helpful to the citizens of that area. And so there's actually a whole story in there about how what we do in real estate is wildly impactful beyond what we sell or even what the public sees at the end of the day. There's all these other machinations going on and it told the story better than I can. But anyway, so back to you.
I'm sorry.
Rabbit hole for no reason. So Jenna, you've been in the business for how many years?
11 years.
What did you do before real estate?
I was a customer service representative at a bank for 6 years. And then I was a stay-at-home mom for 1 year. And I'm just not about that life.
You gave it your all.
And I tried, but like the stay-at-home mom thing, kudos to the moms that can do it. I am not that mom.
But you know, those mommy wars are real. I don't know about you, but I didn't know how bad it was till I had my first child. And then at the time, of course, we didn't have social media. I'm a little older than you are, but there were these online forums and the SAHMs, that's the stay-at-home moms versus the WMs, the working moms. That was a daggum war going on of who was doing it right and who was doing it wrong. And all I could think was, I wish I were equipped to be a stay-at-home mom, but that is not how the Lord built me. And I tried, and I didn't last as long as you did, but we tried, girl. We tried.
High five.
To our kids, all kinds of different possibilities. And so customer service, though, for 6 years in a bank.
I started out as a teller.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. And then after a year, I made it to customer service, and I was there.
What was the best part of that?
Just being able to help people. I love people. I love helping people. So the best part of it for me was whenever a customer would come in, I would be able to solve their problem.
When I guess you have a finite number of solutions in banking, it's either fix this, check this, go fix this. Whereas in real estate, the solutions are infinite.
Oh, absolutely.
But it is a nice direct overlay to real estate. So how did you land in this particular space? Were you following somebody? Did you watch HGTV? What drew you to this business?
So I decided I could no longer be a stay-at-home mom, and I applied through a staffing company to find something part-time. And I interviewed with a real estate agent to be his assistant, and I had no clue what the position even was. He hired me on the spot. I started on my birthday. And I was his assistant for 6 months, and he was like, you need to get your license. So I did. And then I became his partner, and now I became his partner and then a solo agent. And now my husband works for me as my assistant.
You just set hooks and reel things and reel it in and set another hook. Because I'm kind of fascinated by this, that the real estate agent who hired you the first time was so desperate for help, they went to a staffing agency.
I wonder they had hired a few other people and it just didn't work out for them.
Right. I'm just really surprised because I think most real estate agents, at least all the ones that I know, have seldom gone the corporate route to finding help. They usually just go to the internet and say, hey, somebody come help me. Hope the right person lands. I'm kind of fascinated that the regular corporate pathway got you in. Mm-hmm. But what I love about him is that he saw all of the promise that you had outside of that administrative space and said, you're going to have to go live in a bigger space because I see you there. And what a wonderful gift that was for you.
Absolutely. I mean, he really was a saving grace for me because being able to become a very successful real estate agent got me out of a really bad marriage, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So as far as like development goes, I am not the person that I used to be. It's because of real estate.
So was it because of the financial freedom that you got through real estate, or was it the confidence you got because he believed in you at a time when nobody else did?
It was both. I think the confidence part, because I had very low like self-esteem for a very long time and I didn't have really a whole lot of self-worth, but he saw something in me and helped to grow that and develop that. And then it made me turn into a completely different person.
Did he ever tell you what he saw in you? Have you ever like quizzed him and said, what about me?
He said that he saw a light in me at our interview.
I'm going to cry. That's so amazing.
Yeah. And him and I like were best friends for a very long time, but outgrew him eventually. And he was proud of me for it.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. Well, I will say, as somebody who has watched people come into my brokerage and then become amazing and then fly to another brokerage and go somewhere else, it's not even hard feelings. It's look, look how good she's doing. I mean, us old brokers have a huge amount of pride watching you find your own space and build a new brand. It's not even necessarily that it's building you brand, it's you building a new brand. And there's something really special and unique about real estate in that there's always a new pathway you can take. Like you just described bringing your husband in, that's a whole new pathway. So it's part of building that new brand. And how in the world did you suck him in? Was this he's always dreamed of it, or he's been helping you anyway and figured he may as well get his license if he's going to have to help anyway?
I was basically drowning with work and business. And he had been in the oil field for 8 years and he was at the top of where he could possibly go. He wasn't going to go anywhere else. So I was like, either I need to hire an assistant or you can work for me. And we have 5 children. So I was doing everything. I was doing the mom thing, picking them up from the bus and bringing them to practices. And because they were in cheer, competition, ball, all the things. And I was just killing myself. I was just tired. I was like, I need help. So during COVID of all times, studied for his test. And in November of that year, left his oil field job to come and work for me.
That's awesome. Is he enjoying it so far?
I mean, I'm the best boss ever. So of course.
You said, look, if you come work for me, we won't have any more kids.
Yeah, right.
5 at 5. If you don't come work, 4 for 6.
Yeah, we got one more in us.
Just one more. It's no big deal.
Yeah, you got 5 with 6.
I got some signs and lock boxes in the car, baby. Where are we going?
Oh, look, our kids measure houses and stuff and put signs out.
But you know what? They have to come into that entrepreneurial understanding that if you're not helping mom and dad out, you don't get to do competition cheer and competition ball because they're not free.
Absolutely.
I've done all of that travel ball stuff. No, it sure looks amazing, and it should, for what we all pay for it.
Definitely.
So coming out of customer service and giving birth to an entire new generation, good job. And now training your husband, being a business partner, and also having been an administrative assistant, you've worked in so many different angles of life and of real estate. I'm dying to know, what in the world is the story out of your parish in Louisiana that is something you completely were surprised by, didn't expect to happen in real estate? What you got for us, Jenna?
So the year of COVID, again, I had a contract on a house, and the buyer was a Coast Guard couple. A Coast Guard couple.
What's that mean?
They work in the Coast Guard. So we get coasties that come in every 4 years.
Oh, and Coast Guard. Your accent is different than mine. I thought you were saying like coastal. I'm like, what's a coastal?
Coast. Book?
You got that Cajun version and I've got the redneck version. So that's fine. So back to the Coast Guard. So there's Coast Guard in Louisiana, by the way.
Yes, ma'am.
Down there on the Gulf. I didn't know that. Yeah, but yeah. Okay, carry on.
So we did an early occupancy for this couple. They moved in a week before closing. I was going on a trip to Destin with my family for a week. I made sure everything was done before I left. I had checks delivered, everything, keys, like all the things. I got a text from the other agent while I'm sitting on the beach relaxing. We have a problem. So I immediately call her and I'm like, what's going on? The title company did not call my seller and tell him that he needed to bring $60,000 to closing to pay off his mortgage. He had no idea.
You say 60s?
Yes. The kicker is he had ordered a payoff before we accepted this contract because I made him order that payoff. And he was like, we're fine. We're good. I'm going to break even. That's all I need. I just need to walk away. It was a divorce situation. It was difficult. All of the blood rushed from my body at that moment. And so I immediately called my client and I'm like, what is going on? He's like, I don't know. I just showed up. They told me I needed $60,000 to sell this house. Jenna, I don't have $60,000. And I immediately was like, okay, so what can we do to fix this? I had to do a short sale on his house. It took me 18 months to close that short sale and get him out of that house. And I ended up doing it for free because at the end of the day, he still owed more in the commission that I was getting paid, as well as the buyer's agent waived her commission. We both worked this deal for 18 months, longer than 18 months, and neither one of us got paid.
I don't understand. You pulled payoff. Where did it come from? Was it a HELOC that he forgot about, a home equity loan, or?
The house was going into foreclosure.
Oh my God.
He never told me that. Oh. Never told me that. And that's something that I go, you know, it's on our listing agreement. Never told me that. So at that point, he kind of lied to me from the beginning, but the house was going into foreclosure. So the payoff that he saw was the principal payoff. The $60,000 was the fees that he incurred from not paying his mortgage for 2 years.
Ooh.
That he also did not tell me was happening.
First of all, kudos to the buyer for being willing to stick it out and wait. And second of all, kudos to the buyer's agent for being cool enough to work with you. So we're going to go ahead and throw some kudos to their side.
Absolutely.
But for the public and for the realtors that are listening to this and you can't figure out why the seller lied to Jenna, I will tell you, it's all pride. there are so many emotions wrapped up in financial failure that if he had admitted that to you, he would have felt like he was just going to be ruined and embarrassed forever. So he thought he could hide it. And y'all should know the banks might do a lot of things, but forgetting about what's owed to them, that's not something banks do.
Correct. So now part of my listing presentation for everyone is I need you to order a payoff and give it to me because I never want that to happen again.
No, that's great advice. And frankly, you know, we're recording this in the middle of 2023 and financially it's pretty choppy waters right now. There's a lot of layoffs happening and inflation is still in place and interest rates are rising. It's a weird financial place. We could see more of this coming down the pike just because people get into financial bad places and you and I don't always know which seller it is. And the fact that they can't tell us the truth is an excellent reason to order the payoff. That's a brilliant strategy. And I think every realtor listening to this should be like Jenna and ask that hard question and get that hard information.
So I do a seller's net sheet for every single one of my clients whenever I'm sending them an offer. And I let them know, hey, if you get this 30-day payoff for me, I can plug that payoff in and you'll see what your check's going to be at closing.
I will be so helpful to you. What a wonderful resource I'll be if you'll just give me everything so I can make sure you're not lying to me.
Right. Yeah. I never want to go through that again. That was a nightmare because there's nothing short about a short sale. And had I known that in the beginning, I would have approached it from the beginning as a short sale and it would have cut off some of that 18 months.
But you were coming into the business at the end of that short sale and foreclosure era. And so it wasn't like it was in 9 and 10 where everything was a short sale. And so I'd say for any realtor listening to this, if you came into the business after the end of the Great Recession or at the end as we were starting to come back out of it, you've got to go get the education on these because they're a miserable paperwork beast, but they can be a godsend to somebody because it's a slightly less devastating hit than foreclosure to them. And they're better for, frankly, the community because a house doesn't sit there vacant for a while. So, hey, what you've learned now is going to come into benefit for somebody somewhere.
Right.
They just tell you they're going through this.
I'm doing another short sale right now. I have a lady whose son passed away and she inherited the house, but she can't afford the mortgage. So I'm helping her through that right now.
I like that phrase you use. You're helping her through it. That's the phrase more realtors should be leaning into because the
work. That's our job. That's what we do.
Exactly. If you help, you can get somebody to a better solution. It's not just about the paycheck at the end. So everything that you're doing, obviously it wasn't with your guy, your first short sale there because there was no paycheck at the end, but there was goodwill at the end.
The Lord blesses those who are a blessing.
That's right. But are you ever going to go back to Destin? Because I don't think I could look at that white sand again if that was me.
I've actually been back twice since then. I really like the beach.
I love beaches, but I don't know. I might have some PTSD myself.
It wasn't Destin's fault.
Look at you, Jenna. You are a light. You are a freak light of positivity. I love that. How do they find Jenna Guerrero if they want an expert in the boot of Louisiana and need a little positive light in their lives? What's the best way for them to find you?
They can find me on Facebook at Jenna Guerrero. I'm on Instagram. I'm Jenna_Jam26 because my nickname here is Jenna Jam because selling houses is my jam. And then I'm also on TikTok, Jenna_Jam26.
So do you give away jam as a closing gift?
Yes, they have a little place here. It's called Tart and they make the best jalapeno jelly. It's a jam. It's not a jam, but it's still the best. So I do that.
Custom label that says selling houses is my jam and here's yours or something like that.
Yeah.
Love it. You got it going on, sister. I love it. You got something nice to say about Jenna? Drop it in the comments. And if anybody was watching this and figured out the name of that documentary before I did, you can drop it in the comments too. Again, all of Jenna's information is in the show notes for this episode, so you can go make friends with her if you need a little light in your life or some expert in Louisiana. Jenna, thank you so much for coming on the show and
thank you.
Giving us a little honest story about life and teenagerhood, which you let that sneak out, but also all of us as realtors to be prepared and educated because you never know when you're going to have to change gears to help somebody.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Got it. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Make sure you've hit the bell to subscribe, and we'll see you on the next episode.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.